from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan, Reginald Atatula, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford. We're hanging out with you all the way till 2 p.m. as we typically do. How did the new home run derby format feel to you? Did it work? What might work better? Let's talk about all of that as myself, Mike, and Medford were all at Globe Life Field yesterday for the home run derby. Teoscar Hernandez ultimately is the victor. He wins over Bobby Witt Jr. in the final rounds of this to become the first Dodger to ever win the home run derby. I was kind of amazed to see that Sarah Langs at Slangs on Sports on Twitter. She's a great MLB statistician, and she let us know that no Dodger and no Royal had won it coming into that final round, and so this was going to be historic either way. Teoscar Hernandez ultimately holds on. And I think the drama of ultimately going back to the head to head in the semifinals and the finals was incredible. It came down to a final swing for Bobby Witt Jr. with his bonus swings that came mere feet short of tying it up and sending it into a swing off in the finals. So I loved the drama of it. I thought that the format worked really well in the arena, in the ballpark, but it seems like, listening to Sean and RJ, seeing some of the text and some of the internet, that maybe it didn't translate very well for TV.
I don't know, to be honest, I'd have to ask this. He's not here. I don't know if Sean's ever liked the home run derby.
That's a good question.
So I'd have to say, when did you like it? You know, I'd have to ask somebody, Sean specifically, on have you ever been entertained by it?
Right.
You know, type of deal. When was the last time you were entertained by it, if you were entertained by it?
Well, talking to Bobby, I think that one of the things he mentioned was, and this is something you've talked about on this very program, is just when you're on TV, you can't really get a good sense of where the ball lands because of the timing, like with the timed rounds, they're hitting the next ball before that next one, that last right. one actually lands. And either they do a split screen or whatever is happening, you don't get a chance to give your full attention to where the ball lands and then see the next one. And so you don't get the impact of the home run and how far it goes and if it even is a home run. And that's even harder to get a grasp of on the TV. I felt like I could get that in the ballpark, especially, and this is where I was talking to you about it earlier. I like the kids in the outfield because they gave me an opportunity to determine, oh, that one's gone. Or is a kid settling under it? Okay, that's a fly out. That's not going to go. Yeah. And now I can turn my attention back to the plate.
Yeah, I think that Bobby was bringing back the old school Josh Hamilton home run derby. Yes. But people got super bored with that because guys were taking pitches until they got their home run pitch. And you're like, it's batting practice, dude. Take a swing. I don't want to see you take four pitches in a row. Because that's 30 seconds of nobody even swinging a bat. You're just watching a guy lob a ball from 45 feet to home plate, and there's no swing. So I understand where he's coming from, and I understand the being able to see the ball, see where it lands. But what happened was the reason they switched, the first one I can ever remember was in Cincinnati when Todd Frazier won it. Is they had to switch because people over time, over a 15-year period or 10-year period, got really tired of the guys taking pitches. So then you run into that situation. So people got tired of that. So then this happened and people loved the switch. And then from there, then what happened was, is guys realized I need to swing more in this allotted amount of time to get as many home runs as I want possible. So that's where now the television is having trouble tracking the ball and the audience is having trouble tracking the ball.
Yeah, and the 325 says it's still hard to track on TV, in their opinion. I do wonder if that ever changes. Like, is the format something that you can change in any way to make it easier to track the baseball there?
I think that is tough. I think the one thing being there that I would change is I did feel a little bit of a lull in the semifinal round. To be honest, you saw eight contestants, and then you see, let's just, even though it's the same people, then you see 12 home run derby rounds. I maybe, if I was trying to tweak it, especially because it seemed like you had a little bit of a participation lull, is that it seemed like they were struggling to get eight guys. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's what we were talking about coming in. Like, hey, some of these guys, although one of those I would have said Teoscar Hernandez, and he brought the power.
And Baum had 11 home runs in the regular season. I believe that's one more than Josh Smith has right now. Like, you'd be like, 11 home runs in the home run derby? But he put on a great show. I really enjoyed it being there. I would say if I had to do something different, I've already told you the super trick up I would do, but I'm afraid you might kill somebody after watching the high school kids use a metal bat in home run derby. Yeah. If you didn't get to watch that on television, it was there. Both kids hit five. It was a standing ovation for the last kid because it was like with 1 second to go, he had one pitch and they threw it and he hit a home run and the place went crazy. Then they booed because we thought, well, there's going to be a swing off in this, or these two high school kids are going to be able to compete against each other and see one of them. My son was telling me is a Texas A&M commit. They're going into their senior year of high school.
I believe the other is a Mississippi State commit.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously they're going to get a lot of money playing college baseball.
Yeah, man.
Is not only adding the metal bat for like five swings, which might kill somebody in the outfield that's in the stands, but it would be really fun to see them do that, is I think that they should take it down to six contestants, maybe even four. Maybe you have four contestants and the top two advance and you just have... Now, do people feel like they're getting their money's worth that are there that have paid a premium? The person I was next to flew in from Chicago. This is a national event. It's not a Texas Ranger event. I'd say 60% of the fans there were probably Texas Ranger fans that are from the Metroplex. But 40% of the audience are national fans or companies. So I don't know, if you only have six rounds, do people feel like they got cheated?
Right.
So I don't know about that. So maybe
because I mean it ended up running a good 3 hours of this competition.
Yeah.
And I mean, you need that for the TV and all of these things. So
if you go
need
six,
it to be robust.
If you go six and then you only eliminate two guys, but you do eliminate two guys. So you go 6-4. So there's 10 rounds instead of 12 rounds to get to the championship round. I thought it was really cool when you were there, the light show.
Yes.
And Michael Buffer being there to announce Teoscar Hernandez and Bobby Witt Jr. Like, that was a good show right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seemed like, anecdotally, using Twitter, it seemed like people were excited by those kind of flourishes. I think that it might just be that the home run derby itself doesn't feel like something that you should be watching for 3 hours, because...
Right, and that's too long.
Yeah.
It is. Even being there, I thought at one point, like I said, semifinals is a little bit long. Even though I was jumping up and down, my angle from where I was sitting,
yes,
I thought Bobby Witt Jr.'s last ball was a home run. I thought it went over.
It was going.
And then I was like, wait, why are they saying Teoscar Hernandez won? And then my buddy got out his phone, and then we saw on his phone it hit the bottom or the lower part of the wall.
And I mean, up in the auxiliary press box, like, people started rising when Bobby Witt Jr. starting to put on his little run in his bonus swings. How about this? Jared Sandler, you're familiar with this gentleman.
Yep.
He tweeted this during the course of the home run derby last night. I'm interested to see if his tweaks is something that you'd be interested in. For next year's derby, 90-second rounds, no timeouts, and then a bonus round. So, I mean, he's cutting the timed round in half. And I know some people on the text line are talking about maybe it didn't feel as fun because the home run numbers weren't deflated, I guess they felt, but it didn't. I don't actually think that if you're really looking at the home, because you had some people that even with the timed and the 10 out or the non-timed and 10 outs would get like six home runs. Like, you had 20, 21, 19, 18, 14. Like, you had a good amount of runs.
If you take out the bonus round, just think Alex Bohm started off by 40 pitches, 20 home runs.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
And so
I mean, it's not impossible, but it is really tough to be like, all right, we're going to throw the ball 40 times. hit it out of a major league ballpark 50% of the time.
Wild.
I hear what he's saying, but I'll tell you what, Reggie, the timeouts got guys in grooves.
Yes.
So if there was no timeout, I think we would have seen a lot lower numbers of home runs. So that timeout really helped those guys out. So I don't know. I understand all the possible tweaks, but we get so bored with everything so quickly.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what to actually do. Don't worry. National Anthem, we can throw that into Mike Likes It because I know
For sure.
Getting close out of time because that is definitely a longer conversation than 2 minutes. I would say this. Maybe if you went and you didn't have a good time, text in. But I went. You went. I had a blast there. I thought it was great. I did feel like there was a little bit of a lull in the semifinals. But the other thing, too, is look, and there's nothing you can do about it. The guys have done it. They're not LeBroning this. But if you did have Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto, Bryce Harper, those are three guys that were all there, four guys
right.
that were all there. If all four of those guys enter, you know, and then you have your one hometown hero because they know the crowd's going to go nuts for your hometown hero.
And
Corey
boy, did
Seager
they.
Couldn't do
yeah.
it. Like, health-wise, he didn't want to risk it. So Adolis Garcia is your hometown hero doing it. And then you have one more contestant. And maybe it is. I would have said Bobby Witt Jr., but nobody in the Metroplex seemed to care that you had a local hero in the contest. But if you limit it to six, maybe it gets a little bit better. But I do think that some of the super stars of the game where everybody would have been on their feet excited because Ohtani's coming up for the home run derby, they don't want to do it anymore.
Was there anybody that you were super impressed by? Obviously, the champion, Teoscar Hernandez, really surprised me just in general.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was like, I don't think of him as a power hitter. And he had, if my counting is correct here, six of the nine hardest hit balls in this. He had, I think, the third furthest home run, 466, that he put out on the concourse. Of course, Marcell Ozuna hit some pretty towering shots himself. Was there anybody that you were super impressed by during the course of this?
I was impressed by Baum and by Teoscar Hernandez because I didn't expect much out of
yeah.
either one of them. In fact, I thought, oh, they're leading it off the contest with Baum because they don't think he's going to be like that impressive. And actually, he set a standard
yes.
very high for the rest of the competition that I think that actually hurt the competition. There's nothing that Baum did wrong, but I think when he had such a great showing, we just thought, well, that's the standard. He's one of the lower tier guys in this. And so it's kind of like, oh, when other guys didn't live up or exceed that, it became, wait, Alex Baum is the best in this? So, yeah, I was obviously disappointed with Pete Alonso. I thought he was going to put on a great show. It happens. I mean, it's 3 minutes to try to hit as many homers as possible, and it didn't work out for him. I thought Gunnar Henderson's batting practice thrower was horrible, which made it really tough on him.
Which, that's how we felt, what was that, last year with Adolis?
Yeah.
And thankfully, Adolis was better. Unfortunately, he just got a little bit, a little swing happy in his bonus rounds and was not able to make it out of the first round. But there you go, a little bit of home run derby experience. But now we're moving on to the All-Star game. That happens tonight also at Globe Life Field. What are some of the, you know, stars, the storylines to look out for, some of the history of the All-Star game? We'll also get you some Mike Likes It, where I think we'll talk a little bit about the national anthem. We'll do all of that next in the Expressway on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan, Reginald Datatula alongside Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, here hanging out with you on this Tuesday, this All-Star Game Tuesday here in the Metroplex. Did want to note this. I forgot to mention this last segment. We kind of got, should I qualify this as breaking news, Medford? And breaking news on 105 through the Fan is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Per Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, 49ers All-Pro wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade after the offseason of unsuccessful attempts to reach an extension. So, obviously, that's not something that they absolutely have to recognize. I'm sure that there's still more stories or more more chapters to be told in this story when it comes to the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. However, the likelihood is, I imagine, that he does not play with the Niners. And that would be a big blow to what is a very, very strong core of players there with San Francisco. But
he's their best receiver.
Yeah, like purely wide receiver. Yeah,
interesting. Debo's this kind of weapon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's a receiver, but Ayuk is the guy who is closer to CeeDee Lamb. Yep. In a way, I guess.
Like stylistically,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you have Debo, who's in a way, I do think Dez Bryant was a better receiver, but maybe Debo is a better weapon.
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe a similar way, because they're both just these strong beasts that play wide receiver. I think Dez was better at maybe, even though Dez isn't considered a great route runner or whatever, I mean, he could make some big-time plays wide receiver-wise that I don't think Debo can make. But then Debo, you can hand the ball off to or run certain plays that Dez at least never had the opportunity to see if he could do that.
Yeah, that versatility really puts defenses in a bind on, you know, how to guard him. And then also just like his body type made it tough for you to figure out a player that can cover him well.
I'm going to continue this conversation here.
Okay.
What would ever stop? Here's what I don't understand, because the Players Association stinks so bad in the NFL. What if you just tell Brandon Ayuk, that's fine, we're not going to trade you unless we get like a first round pick and a third round pick. And if we don't, you can never play football again.
I don't know that there's much to stop that. I think that the few things that might work in the opposite direction of that is maybe like free agency type stuff. But we're seeing that can be less, I mean, that's less of a team's building philosophy in football than it is in some other sports, where maybe a player looks at them like, I don't like the way that organization functions, and so I don't want to go there. Like, but I do wonder, does that then affect the ways that people view your organization? But yeah, I mean, in theory, they really could play hardball here. They've tried to get an extension to keep him, but maybe the idea is just like a disgruntled player does not produce in the same way as a happy one does. And maybe it's just like, look, let's get the best that we can get so that we can get a disgruntled player out of here, and that you don't have that guy, kind of taking down morale in the locker room. Maybe that's ultimately the deciding factor. There you go. Brandon Ayuk officially has requested a trade. But let's get back to the DFW, to the Metroplex, where this evening, 7 p.m. at Globe Life Field, we will see the AL All-Stars and the NL All-Stars face off in the All-Star game. Mike, what are the big things that you're looking forward to? Because I imagine the first and foremost, it's Paul Skeens on the
100%.
Mound, right?
It's Paul Skeens. And so, obviously, the National League is going to hit first. I don't think it's like the biggest matchup that Kurt Burns is going to be facing Otani. But
Corbin Burns?
I was just thinking of starting the game of, this is where the National League is hurt a lot more than the American League. And I honestly don't care who wins the game. Like, I just want to see the best players play. But you should be having it just the first and second place finishers in the National League MVP last year are both hurt. So it should be, let's say, Mookie Betts or Ronald Acuna Jr. batting first, then Shohei Ohtani, then Mookie Betts or Ronald Acuna Jr. batting third, and then Bryce Harper batting fourth. And so there's a little bit of star power taken away from the National League more than the American League. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be pumped up to go with my son tonight and watch the best players in the game that are healthy right now start this game off. But I just think to start the game off, I look at the National League lineup, and Ketel Marte, deservingly all-star second baseman in the National League. Shohei, can't wait. I'm surprised once again. I'll just bring this up for regular season baseball. When Shohei was with the Angels and there was that rare time where he was pitching and hitting, I just can't believe 40,000 people didn't say, I have to get out and see this. It was almost like surprising that people were like, oh, Shohei's pitching tonight. You know, it's like, dude, this is one of the rare times. Like, he'll probably only do it, to be honest, he'll probably only do it at most 100 more times in his life until his arm can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not going to be many times to see him, but you get to see him hit tonight. I'm excited about that. But really, it's this build up to when Paul Skeens takes the mound in the bottom of the first inning.
For sure. And, I mean, he will take on Stephen Kwan, but then you get to the heavy hitters that you're super excited about. How long do you think that he'll be allowed to go? You think that maybe you can –
Here's the deal. This is for another conversation. What if, and there's a good possibility of this happening, what if you get to September 1st and Paul Skeens is a top three Cy Young candidate and has a real chance, and they're like, we're not allowing him to pitch much more. He didn't, this is his first year ever in professional baseball. He pitched every Friday night at LSU. You don't pitch every Friday night in the major leagues. You're pitching every fifth day. There are off days at times where you'll pitch a sixth day. But how much are they going to extend him? So him pitching one inning, like if I'm the Pirates, I'm like, dude, he had a no-hitter the other day. He was under 100 pitches after seven innings, dominating the Brewers in a 1-0 game. And we're like, we don't care. We're taking him out. So they're not allowing him to pitch more than one inning.
There's quite a few Orioles in this, and they have been hitting a little poorly. Are you interested at all in like any of the particular non-Rangers outside of like Paul Skeens, like when you talk about the American League?
I would love to see Aaron Judge face Paul Skeens. Sure. I would love to see Aaron Judge hit a home run in this. I'd love to see Shohei have a big moment. I feel like Shohei hitting a home run is awesome, but I feel like Shohei could hit a ball in the gap and get a triple. I also feel the same way about Bobby Witt Jr. I found out we're not going to cheer for Bobby Witt Jr. tonight. After the home run derby,
you thought, hear that, Metroplex? Prove Mike wrong.
I thought Bobby Witt Jr. was going to get more of a crowd surge last night, and that he didn't. When Bobby Witt Jr. takes over for Gunnar Henderson, I'm going to assume the fifth inning. So Gunnar Henderson will play the first four innings, and then the fifth inning, Bobby Witt Jr. will enter. I hope Bobby Witt Jr. has a special moment in this. He's a guy.
Right.
The other one, I'm really excited in about the fifth inning for Ely De La Cruz to come in. That is something that he is really special to watch in person. So there are players that are on the bench that I'm really excited to see. I'm going to be surprised if Corey Seager actually plays the field. I think Corey Seager just pinch hits for somebody.
All right. Okay. I can see that.
Because I know that he didn't want to be. I'm not taking a knock at Corey Seager at all. He just, up to Sunday, he thought on Sunday, maybe he got told a little before that and we don't know, but up to Sunday, he was going to play the last game of the first half of the season until the All-Star break. And then he was going to take his break and then come back Thursday to the Metroplex to get ready for the homestand. Instead, he's here. So I think Bochy, being his manager, will be like, you got to get in the game because people are going to be pumped when you come up to the plate. But I won't even play you in the field. I just need you to take your one at bat, get a pitch you like, take a rip at it, and hopefully you get on base, and that'll be that for your All-Star game.
So safe to say you don't think that Corey Seager walks away with the MVP, but do you have a pick on...
He could, because what if he pinch hits in the seventh inning and hits a home run to win the game?
Ooh, okay.
That's the thing. It's very tough as a starter to win the MVP, a starting player, because by the fifth inning, you're out of the game, so you have to do something special early, and nothing special happened late. The other thing, too, that I'm looking forward to seeing is... And I know there are other guys that do throw close to this hard when Mason Miller comes into the game.
That is another one that I'm super looking forward to because, I mean, yeah, that's a guy who's made some really good batters look foolish because he's just throwing gas. And so it'll be fun to see that. I think that's one of the big things when you talk about All-Star games in general. And one of the reasons why I think that some of the All-Star games are losing their luster is that back in the day, you couldn't see all of these great players play against each other because there wasn't all these national TV deals and everything. So this was the opportunity to see them all face off. And there's a few guys, you mentioned Skeens, Mason Miller, where those potential matchups against the other best in the league is super intriguing. And so I think that those are the places. But I'm going to stake my claim just because I love the way that he plays. And I think like the flash factor is there. I think Ely De La Cruz can walk away with the MVP in this one.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I mean, you get to some points where I hope this doesn't happen, and nothing against Shane Bieber, who won the MVP in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But he just pitched one inning, I believe, in relief. But it was a nice inning. He might have pitched two innings. But nothing against Kirby Yates. I hope Kirby Yates gets in and has an awesome inning, and we cheer our hearts out for Kirby Yates. He's meant so much to the 2024 Texas Rangers. But it is weird when at the end of the game and you stick around. I'm going to stick around because it's an All-Star game.
Okay.
I'm going to stay for the whole thing.
Yes, absolutely.
I am going to stay for the presentation of the MVP because I don't want to sit in my car for 20 minutes waiting for the parking lots to unload. I'll just wait. But, it would be cool if Kirby Yates won it being a hometown hero. But in the same way, it's not really that fun to have a relief pitcher win the MVP.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you there.
So I'm hoping it is Ely De La Cruz. I'm hoping it is Bobby Witt Jr. It would be amazing if Marcus Semien batting ninth, you know, I don't know how many at-bats he's going to get, at least one, but if Marcus Semien or Corey Seager did something special in this game and won the MVP, that would be so cool if one of our hometown guys won the MVP.
Now, tell me if you would maybe more like to talk about this tomorrow or what have you, but Matt Snyder of CBS Sports asserts that the MLB has the best all-star game experience in professional sports. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's close.
Not even close.
I think it's if football, as in the NFL, is 10 times better than all the other sports, I get it. It's not my favorite sport, but I get it. I'm not stupid. Sure. I get how important NFL is to our culture. This isn't close. Paul Skeens is going to be throwing the ball 100 plus miles an hour tonight. Aaron Judge is up there battling his butt off. Every batter is taking their at bat seriously. There's only been a few times, and that was just the fear of Randy Johnson, where guys were like, I don't know if I want to be in this box right now. But everybody on defense, everybody will be trying their best. Everybody will be running the bases hard. There's no other sport that tries anymore. We got rid of the Pro Bowl. The NBA is the biggest joke in the world. I think they should eliminate the All-Star game. They're only doing it for television purposes at this point for the NBA. Hockey, I don't care. But from what I understand, the final score is usually like 10-8 or whatever. So
yeah.
I don't watch it. I have no clue what's happening in the NHL All-Star game. I'll never watch it. But it looks like the score isn't a normal score of a hockey game. So this is the best players in the world at the time playing as hard as they can against each other.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we've talked about a little bit on this program is what those players will be wearing, the All-Star jerseys. And we're not huge fans of the design and colorway that they went with for this one.
I mean, I'm honest. I think it's horrible. Yeah. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense to our Metroplex or to the Texas Rangers.
I've seen people on the concourse yesterday at the Home Run Derby who were wearing them and wearing custom iterations of those jerseys. And Medford, I don't know if you have this readily available, but Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, has his media availability during this All-Star break, like any commissioner would during their kind of big celebratory time. And apparently he had comments about the possibilities of going back to wearing individual team jerseys, right?
Yeah, Evan Grant of the Morning News is a part of this conversation, a Q&A with Rob Manfred with the Baseball Writers of America. And he did say there, quote, will be conversations about returning to teams' individual jerseys for All-Star game starting next year. And he said, quote, I'm aware of the sentiment of the fans and whatnot, that they do want that to come back. I would be in favor of it. But hey, at least he's acknowledging that I hear you guys and we are talking about it at minimum. And if they're talking about it, I'd assume that they're going to seriously think about it.
That's nice. But there's no way in hell they actually do that, right?
I think there could be. And maybe the compromise would be every other year that we have an All-Star jersey. You know, like next year, it will be everybody's wearing their uniforms with a patch, an All-Star patch, and maybe the next year they come up with a cool design, and then the next year they go back. Like, I'd at least be like 50-50 on that, but I think the All-Star game jerseys have been pretty bad of late. Like, there was no way I was buying my kid an All-Star game jersey last year of the six guys you had to choose from for the Rangers.
Yeah,
because they were Seattle Mariners jerseys.
Yeah,
they were Seattle Mariners colors.
So look like that.
I get it, but like, I was like, well, that's cool. Like, you have Mariner themed jerseys for the All-Star game, and so this year there'll be Ranger themed jerseys for the All-Star game. And they're like, we're not doing anything Texas on this. It will not represent the state. It will not represent the team. It will not represent the Metroplex at all. So that was weird to me in that one. But I do hope they go back to it. I will say this. Maybe you go to like instead of we wear the jerseys, but we all have the same hat. Everybody's wearing an American League hat or a National League hat. I'm just throwing that out there if you wanted to sell more stuff. But to your point, it's going to be tough. Like, I like the hats last night that they were wearing because they were different than your regular hat, but yet they were still the team colors.
Yeah. But yeah, I just imagine that with any of these circumstances, these leagues are just going to constantly make the decision of the places where they can squeeze more revenue out. And it feels like there's more revenue to be made about having a unique jersey that is only being sold for this event.
I think the NBA jerseys are pathetic for the All-Star game.
I agree.
But they're making them so they can make money, because it was cooler when you see the 1998 All-Star game. And I'm talking about NBA. First of all, they played very hard. And you saw Jordan versus Kobe.
Was that Phoenix?
In moments. I don't know if it was in Phoenix or not. For some reason, I thought it was Madison Square Garden. But
you're right. I'm wrong.
Is Kobe was wearing his gold Lakers, and Michael Jordan was wearing his white Chicago Bulls. And when they matched up against each other for the first 6 minutes and later in the game, it was really cool to see those guys in their original uniforms. And it's just kind of cool to see all these different jerseys on the court at once. All these different jerseys on the field at once. Right now we have MLB Network on, and I don't know which All-Star game this is. This is somewhere in the 80s because George Brett is getting a hit, and he's in his powdered blue Kansas City Royals jersey. And then you see Del Murphy in his Atlanta Braves jersey jumping at the wall trying to save the home run while giving a high five to Lance Parrish wearing his Detroit Tigers jersey, while the Montreal Expos Gary Carter is behind the plate and you see their jersey. So just looking at this, there's old Chet Lemon right there. Like, that does look better when you see the guys in their jerseys playing the game.
Yeah, I strongly agree. And obviously, like you mentioned, I typically come to it from the basketball standpoint, but even in the baseball context, it just looks that much cooler. And then I think individuals can feel that much more represented, not just that there's a player there, but I can see either my team's name or the city there at the All-Star game. So there you go. A little bit of All-Star preparedness for tonight in a big game, AL-NL, where you have Marcus Semien starting at second base. Kirby Yates will come in out of the pen. And Corey Seager, the other Ranger.
I think he'll hit as well. Maybe he will play, let's say, the eighth or ninth inning at shortstop. But Gunnar Henderson will play the first four innings. I'm assuming Bobby Witt Jr. will play the next 3 to 4 innings. And then maybe Corey Seager will play defense. But I think more he'll just pinch hit. All right, so ready for Mike Likes It?
Let's do a little Mike Likes It.
We are going to go back to last night.
Okay.
We haven't been able to get to this. We've teased it. We just haven't had enough time in the show. Let's get to after the presentation of the players, which I will ask you this. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know the Saturday Night Live guy there. Like, from Saturday Night Live, I don't watch that anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it in 20 years. It's not like I recently stopped watching it.
I'm not super familiar with him either.
But yeah, so he announced the players' names. And I thought he did a pretty good job of trying to hype up the crowd.
Huge pop when Adolis was named.
Yeah.
Obviously, last guy out of the box. Huge, huge pop.
But then afterwards, they said, all right, if you can rise, please rise and remove your caps as we sing the national anthem. And I'd never heard of this person before. Andrus is her last name?
Ingrid Andrus. She kind of does some country pop type stuff. In fact, if you want, I did get one of her. I went to Tidal. I used Tidal. I looked at like her top song on there, and I got that just to get a like idea of what her singing typically sounds like. Yeah, if so,
I'd
if you
love
hear
to
that.
Hear what she sounds like actually like sounding like a singer.
Baby, I'm just wishful drinking. Get my heart song.
That sounds great to be awesome.
Right.
That sounds like a singer. Now, this I'm going to ask you this question. After hearing her last night, we won't get to the national anthem yet and play it if you didn't hear it. Do you think she's just auto-tuned there and that's actually not her real voice?
I do think that that's some of it. Like, I do think that there's, when you're in a studio, you can kind of get your best take and then we can tweak it if necessary. And especially when we get into pop spaces, I do think that that happens a lot more. But it seems like we also have an update on this. And at this point, I turn to the Alec Medford news desk, Alec, for some news on this, updating news, developing news on this story.
Yeah, I'll come up with the sounder for this sometime this week. But she did post a statement on her social media platforms clarifying exactly what happened. And I'm going to paraphrase here because there was an expletive or two. She said, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid on all of her social media platforms.
Well, it makes sense. Something was really wrong. There's just no way that was a professional singer. I feel bad that she, you know, is checking into rehab because she's an alcoholic and
right.
going to try to deal with that the rest of her life. You know, unfortunately, when you become an alcoholic, it's something you deal with the rest of your life usually.
I'm going to be a jerk here.
All right.
I'm going to take a very cynical perspective.
Oh, that she's just
making an excuse. What is the chance that this was just like, that was so bad, we have to come up with some reason as to why it was so bad, and that was what came
I was wondering if she was sick. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
And again, but that's a really unfair reading of the situation.
What I mean, and that started at, I mean, the other thing too is, I don't know, like, when did she start drinking? And like, it was 7:30 when she went on, and maybe it was earlier than that, because I know at 7 o'clock they started the presentation, and the presentation took a while.
Yes, it did.
But, well, like, how much were you drinking today, and when did you stop drinking?
And only, I mean, I'm sure that there's some people
that... I'm just wondering, none of her people were like, like, were you drinking in your hotel by yourself? I mean, maybe she was, and nobody knew, but, like, if you were, like, somewhere drinking before, you had none of your people around you going, hey, we gotta stop, because this is gonna be... To be honest, that was the biggest stage she was ever going to be on.
Yeah.
She probably will never be on a bigger stage. And she flopped in the biggest flop in the history of... Because Carl Lewis and Roseanne, which this is being compared to, well, one was an Olympic sprinter and the other was an actress.
Yeah.
They were not known for singing at all. So I get that they were horrible. I'd be like, hey... sports talk radio guy and Rangers analyst Mike Bassick sings the national anthem. You better not expect me to be good at this. This is not what I do for a living. But that's what she does for a living.
Right.
And it made me think, is she just all like, she's a good looking woman. Is she just all about that? Like, as in that's, and then a company took her and said, hey, you look good and you can kind of sing and we'll just auto tune everything. But if you do that, then you never accept doing the national anthem. You never accept a live situation. Or if she was that drunk, don't your people have a pre-recording of you doing the national anthem?
Oh,
be like, we're gonna lip sync it.
I have no idea.
Because at that point, that's what you do, right?
And possibly from the 832, they would have blamed her earpiece if that was the case. Seems like she's owning it. Reggie, that was class.
Okay.
And look, I said it. Like, that's gonna be the most cynical perspective that can be taken. I personally, as we were hearing, and I don't know if I told you this, Medford, because we were standing next to each other, the first thing I thought in my head was, there's an echoing kind of a sensation on the field. It's already really tough to deliver in those situations. And I think that factored in, but I think she also made some stylistic decisions in the way that she sang it.
Let's hear it. To if you haven't heard it, we get it. I mean, you might not have watched the Home Run Derby, but you've heard about this national anthem thing, but you have. Let's hear Ingrid Andress.
Ingrid Andress.
Let's hear her sing the national anthem last night.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
If you don't think it's bad yet, just
wait. The ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting. That our flag was still there.
I don't know if I'd hold that note there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, say
this is where everybody's looking at it, everybody in the stands. Like, what is happening?
Banner yet wave. For the land
like there's some decisions. If you're struggling, like I think that there's ways that you can pare back the national anthem. Like, hey, let's deliver a very clean cut and let's get through this. And it felt like at times she was like, no, we're going for it, baby. And look, I admire the attempt to go for it.
So
just didn't really land.
This wasn't the All-Star game. I have this question. Will this All-Star weekend, I know it goes Monday, Tuesday more than a weekend. Will this be the thing that's always remembered? Like, we need something good to happen tonight.
Oh, no.
Because if this is just like, let's just say a 5-3 game without anything really that special happening, I think when people go, do you remember the All-Star game in Texas? I think this might be the thing that's remembered. Nobody's going to remember Teoscar Hernandez won the Home Run Derby. There was nothing special about it last night. I loved being there. It was awesome. I really wanted Bobby Witt Jr. to win it. It was electric when he hit that last ball and it looked like it was going out. But that won't be remembered. I didn't even remember who won last year until I got there. I was like, who won last year and who did he go against and stuff like that? Right now, this is the memorable thing going around sports and going around the country on the national anthem is the thing right now.
Yeah. And look, it's a very nerve-wracking position. As you mentioned, this might be the biggest stage that she has, like with national television and everybody focusing. And just to reiterate, if you did not see, Ingrid Andrews, who was the singer, did put out a statement saying that she was drunk during the course of that and that she's checking herself into a facility today to try and deal with that. So, like, want to be somewhat sympathetic in the way that we talk about this. Like, maybe the nerves got to her. But yeah, I just really unfortunate. I do wonder, though, if there will be like a morbid curiosity that will at least drive some people to some of what she does. Because I know I was like, this can't be how she normally sings. Like, no, I'm sure that there's something there.
I don't listen to current music. And I'm like, is this what kids like? They like people who really can't sing because they're making like these horrible sounds and notes, you know? And so I thought, wow, is this current music today? Is this what it is? And then I talked to a professional singer today.
Yes, I'm interested in this insight.
And he was telling me, he's like, it's not an easy song to sing. You try to keep it in a pretty basic key. You need to be, that first sound you make needs to be in the right key. And she wasn't. So no. It's immediately off. And you say no to these. If you're not decent at this, you say no to it. It's not easy to do. And then you also can say a week before or a few days before, if it's not going well in rehearsal, then you just say, we're sorry, we can't do it. Sure. Like, you're not going to embarrass yourself and embarrass your client and maybe end a career because of a national anthem. So you just don't do it.
Yeah.
So it was one of these things where she ended up doing it, and now she has to live with, I mean, being serious, I don't know the music world, and but can she come back from this?
I think so. We've heard people have like very bad performances and still like be in their lane. I mean, especially nowadays with music, it's very, and like all our media, very sectioned off. People can find their niches and people can exist in niches. I don't know that you necessarily have to just be mainstream. I'm sure that she's got a niche of folks that fans that love her and that will continue to check for her stuff. I wonder how that grows or if that grows. I'm not sure.
The last thing that I heard, and I don't know this, I heard that she didn't really make it as a pop person, and that's why she's into country, to see make it in country. And maybe she is, because I think she's nominated, or she was nominated for 4 Grammys. But I'm just like, yeah, it was. It's the worst I've ever seen, like been a part of, even at a high school game. Like a high school kid singing a national anthem did it way better. Like, it was shocking to all of us in the building, and I didn't know. And then when I got to the car and my son and his friends were there, like immediately, because they immediately got on whatever TikTok, Instagram, or whatever, and it was immediate throughout the world that was like, that was the worst possibly ever.
Yeah, that bless her heart were the words that immediately came to mind. And that's what I got, like, because that's, I don't envy that situation. And look, you put yourself in that situation in some ways by accepting it, as you mentioned. But I was talking about this maybe last week with you, the idea of like Sam Dyson and or pitchers in general, when they're out there and when it's going bad, you're just out there and you have to get through it. And I feel like that's where she was in the national anthem. You hit that first note, yeah, you're not in the right key.
She had kept, doing it worse. Yeah. Instead of going, I'm just going to make it as basic as possible and speed through this and get off this stage, You could hear the last 20 seconds were 100 times worse. The start wasn't good.
No.
The finish was the worst in the history of singing.
Quite possibly.
For a professional.
Quite possibly.
I get it. Roseanne and Carl Lewis were as bad or worse, but they're not considered singers.
Oof. That is wild if that ends up being the most memorable part of this Texas All-Star.
That would have been like if we would have seen, let's just say Gunnar Henderson had the worst home run derby night. I think he put up the least amount of homers. What if he would have swung and missed? I watched it in 20 years. It's not like I recently stopped watching it.
I'm not super familiar with him either.
But yeah, so he announced the players' names. And I thought he did a pretty good job of trying to hype up the crowd.
Huge pop when Adolis was named.
Yeah.
Obviously, last guy out of the box. Huge, huge pop.
But then afterwards, they said, all right, if you can rise, please rise and remove your caps as we sing the national anthem. And I'd never heard of this person before. Andrus is her last name?
Ingrid Andrus. She kind of does some country pop type stuff. In fact, if you want, I did get one of her. I went to Tidal. I used Tidal. I looked at like her top song on there, and I got that just to get a like idea of what her singing typically sounds like. Yeah, if
I'd love to hear what she sounds like actually like sounding like a singer.
Baby, I'm just wishful drinking. Get my heart something.
Sounds great to be awesome.
Right.
That sounds like a singer. Now, this I'm going to ask you this question. After hearing her last night, we won't get to the national anthem yet and play it if you didn't hear it. Do you think she's just auto-tuned there and that's actually not her real voice?
I do think that that's some of it. Like, I do think that there's, when you're in a studio, you can kind of get your best take and then we can tweak it if necessary. And especially when we get into pop spaces, I do think that that happens a lot more. But it seems like we also have an update on this. And at this point, I turn to the Alec Medford news desk, Alec, for some news on this, updating news, developing news on this story.
Yeah, I'll come up with the sounder for this sometime this week. But she did post a statement on her social media platforms clarifying exactly what happened. And I'm going to paraphrase here because there was an expletive or two. She said, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid on all of her social media platforms.
Well, it makes sense. Something was really wrong. There's just no way that was a professional singer. I feel bad that she, you know, is checking into rehab because she's an alcoholic and
right.
Going to try to deal with that the rest of her life. You know, unfortunately, when you become an alcoholic, it's something you deal with the rest of your life usually.
I'm going to be a jerk here.
All right.
I'm going to take a very cynical perspective.
Oh, that she's just
making what is the chance that this was just like, that was so bad. We have to come up with some reason as to why it was so bad. And that was what came
I was wondering if she was sick. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
And again, that's a really unfair reading of the situation.
What I mean, and that started at, I mean, the other thing too is, I don't know, like, when did she start drinking? And like, it was 7:30 when she went on, and maybe it was earlier than that, because I know at 7 o'clock they started the presentation, and the presentation took a while.
Yes, it did.
But, well, like, how much were you drinking today, and when did you stop drinking?
And only, I mean, I'm sure that there's some people that...
none of her people, I'm just wondering, none of her people were like, like, were you drinking in your hotel by yourself? I mean, maybe she was, and nobody knew, but, like, if you were, like, somewhere drinking before, you had none of your people around you going, hey, we gotta stop, because this is gonna be... To be honest, that was the biggest stage she was ever going to be on.
Yeah.
She probably will never be on a bigger stage. And she flopped in the biggest flop in the history of... Because Carl Lewis and Roseanne, which this is being compared to, well, one was an Olympic sprinter and the other was an actress.
Yeah.
They were not known for singing at all. So I get that they were horrible. I'd be like, hey... sports talk radio guy and Rangers analyst Mike Bassick sings the national anthem. You better not expect me to be good at this. This is not what I do for a living. But that's what she does for a living.
Right.
And it made me think, is she just all like, she's a good looking woman Is she just all about that? Like, as in that's, and then a company took her and said, hey, you look good and you can kind of sing and we'll just auto-tune everything. But if you do that, then you never accept doing the national anthem. You never accept a live situation. Or if she was that drunk, don't your people have a pre-recording of you doing the national anthem?
Oh, like, we're going to lip sync it? I have no idea.
Because at that point, that's what you do, right? And
possibly from the 832, they would have blamed her earpiece if that was the case. Seems like she's owning it. Reggie, that was class.
Okay.
And look, I said it. Like, that's going to be the most cynical perspective that can be taken. I personally, as we were hearing, and I don't know if I told you this, Medford, because we were standing next to each other, the first thing I thought in my head was, there's an echoing kind of a sensation on the field. It's already really tough to deliver in those situations. And I think that factored in. But I think she also made some stylistic decisions in the way that she sang it.
Let's hear it. To if you haven't heard it, we get it. I mean, you might not have watched the Home Run Derby, but you've heard about this national anthem thing. But you have, let's hear Ingrid Andress.
Ingrid Andress.
Let's hear her sing the national anthem last night.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
If you don't think it's bad yet, just
wait. The ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting. That our flag was still there.
I don't know if I'd hold that note there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, say
this is where everybody's looking at it, everybody in the stands, like, what is happening?
Banner yet wave for the land of the free.
Like, there's some decisions. If you're struggling, like, I think that there's ways that you can pare back the national anthem. Like, hey, let's deliver a very clean cut and let's get through this. And it felt like at times she was like, no, we're going for it, baby. And look, I admire the attempt to go for it.
So
just didn't really land.
This wasn't the All-Star game. I have this question. Will this All-Star weekend, I know it goes Monday, Tuesday more than a weekend. Will this be the thing that's always remembered? Like, we need something good to happen tonight.
Oh, no.
Because if this is just like, let's just say, a 5-3 game without anything really that special happening, I think when people go, do you remember the All-Star game in Texas? I think this might be the thing that's remembered. Nobody's going to remember Teoscar Hernandez won the Home Run Derby. There was nothing special about it last night. I loved being there. It was awesome. I really wanted Bobby Witt Jr. to win it. It was electric when he hit that last ball and it looked like it was going out. But that won't be remembered. I didn't even remember who won last year until I got there. I was like, who won last year and who did he go against and stuff like that? Right now, this is the memorable thing going around sports and going around the country on the national anthem is the thing right now.
Yeah. And look, it's a very nerve-wracking position. As you mentioned, this might be the biggest stage that she has, like, with national television and everybody focusing. And just to reiterate, if you did not see, Ingrid Andress, who was the singer, did put out a statement saying that she was drunk during the course of that and that she's checking herself into a facility today to try and deal with that. So, like, want to be somewhat sympathetic in the way that we talk about this. Like, maybe the nerves got to her. But yeah, I just really unfortunate. I do wonder, though, if there will be like a morbid curiosity that will at least drive some people to some of what she does. Because I know I was like, this can't be how she normally sings. Like, no, I'm sure that there's something there.
I don't listen to current music. And I'm like, is this what kids like? They like people who really can't sing because they're making like these horrible sounds and notes, you know? And so I thought, wow, is this current music today? Is this what it is? And then I talked to a professional singer today.
Yes, I'm interested in this insight.
And he was telling me, he's like, it's not an easy song to sing. You try to keep it in a pretty basic key. You need to be, that first sound you make needs to be in the right key. And she wasn't. So no. It's immediately off. And you say no to these. If you're not decent at this, you say no to it. It's not easy to do. And then you also can say a week before or a few days before, if it's not going well in rehearsal, then you just say, we're sorry, we can't do it. Sure. Like, you're not going to embarrass yourself and embarrass your client and maybe end a career because of a national anthem. So you just don't do it.
Yeah.
So it was one of these things where she ended up doing it, and now she has to live with, I mean, being serious, I don't know the music world, and but can she come back from this?
I think so. We've heard people have like very bad performances and still like be in their lane. I mean, especially nowadays with music, it's very, and like all our media, very sectioned off. People can find their niches and people can exist in niches. I don't know that you necessarily have to just be mainstream. I'm sure that she's got a niche of folks that fans that love her and that will continue to check for her stuff. I wonder how that grows or if that grows. I'm not sure.
The last thing that I heard, and I don't know this, I heard that she didn't really make it as a pop person, and that's why she's into country, to see make it in country. And maybe she is, because I think she's nominated, or she was nominated for 4 Grammys, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, it's the worst I've ever seen, like been a part of, even at a high school game. Like a high school kid singing a national anthem did it way better. Like, it was shocking to all of us in the building, and I didn't know. And then when I got to the car and my son and his friends were there, like immediately, because they immediately got on whatever TikTok, Instagram, or whatever, and it was immediate throughout the world that was like, that was the worst possibly ever.
Yeah, that bless her heart were the words that immediately came to mind. And that's what I got, like, because that's, I don't envy that situation. And look, you put yourself in that situation in some ways by accepting it, as you mentioned. But I was talking about this maybe last week with you, the idea of like Sam Dyson and or pitchers in general, when they're out there and when it's going bad, you're just out there and you have to get through it. And I feel like that's where she was in the national anthem. You hit that first note, yeah, you're not in the right key.
She had kept, doing it worse. Yeah. Instead of going, I'm just going to make it as basic as possible and speed through this and get off this stage. You could hear the last 20 seconds were 100 times worse. The start wasn't good.
No.
The finish was the worst in the history of singing.
Quite possibly.
For a professional.
Quite possibly.
I get it. Roseanne and Carl Lewis were as bad or worse. They're not considered singers.
Oof. That is wild if that ends up being the most memorable part of this Texas All-Star.
That would have been like if we would have seen, let's just say Gunnar Henderson had the worst home run derby night. I think he put up the least amount of homers. What if he would have swung and missed on his last 5 attempts? Like, wouldn't even hit the ball. That was what she did as a home run derby contestant. It had been like, you just struck out 2 times in a row by swinging and missing 5 or 6 times.
Well, look, thanks for something to talk about, Ingrid Angris. I hope that she finds, sincerely though, I do hope that she gets the help that she
100%.
Needs.
100%. I did feel bad for her.
Oh, that was the prevailing feeling. Like, I know Alec Baum was caught on video trying to like not laugh, but I think that all of that is just out of like a, yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's also like, I know that can't be a fun place to be. And I think that a lot of us were in that place. We're like, ooh, that's a real tough place to be for. So, yeah, wild moment that ultimately led off what was a fun home run derby evening. And appreciate you, Mike, for a little Mike likes it. Although I guess that was more of a Mike dislikes it, right? Did you like the anthem performance?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just wanted to make sure. Medford, your feelings on it?
It happened,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I was there, and I'm going to tell my grandkids about it one day.
Oh, okay. One of the anthems of all time. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Speaking of Medford, let's do a little AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day coming up. Plus, as promised, the big lawsuit filed by Nike. We're going to break it down next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.